Hi, I'm Edwin King, the Executive Director for Kentucky Housing Corporation, and welcome to our first ever podcast at strategichousing.com. Today, for our first guest, we have Mark Shelburne, the Senior Manager with Novogradac Company. Novogradac Company is nationally recognized for their expertise with the Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Program, consulting on those transactions and guiding clients through business issues of the tax credit program. They also provide services in accounting, transactions and tax consulting, investor services and consulting, valuation and appraisals, compliance, and much more. Now, Mark consults with state agencies, local governments, financial institutions, and developers on topics including allocation policy, supportive housing, IRS compliance, program innovation, and fair housing. One of the things that I've been talking about for a while now, over the last 6 months or so, is a holistic housing approach to housing policy. Really, it's not about just putting a roof over somebody's head. It's how do we impact their lives and lift them out of poverty so they become productive members of society. And really, if you look at some of the programs we have here in Kentucky, the Scholar House program throughout Kentucky really stands out as being a good model for a holistic housing approach. And the Scholar House program is a program where single parents can go and live while they attend college, whether it be a four-year university or a technical school. And while they're living at these units and going to school, they have proper child care, they have some counseling services, and the things they need to succeed in life. And just to give you an idea of how successful that program has been in Kentucky and shows that it can lift people out of poverty, take, for instance, last fiscal year alone, there was about 770 participants in the Scholar House programs across the state. And out of that 770, 128 single parents graduated from college and had gainful employment and had stable housing after graduation. So that really is a good result in lifting people out of poverty. Looking at the holistic housing approach, certainly the low-income housing tax credit is a great tool in our tool chest here at Kentucky Housing in addressing some of these issues. Specifically, as I mentioned, the Scholar House program, those were built with the low-income housing tax credit program. So as I mentioned, low-income housing tax credits, or LIHTC as we call it, are a good tool in addressing these issues. Now, when talking about the low-income housing tax credit program, we certainly have to mention the qualified allocation plan, or the QAP as we call it. And really, the QAP is a policy document. It's probably the most significant policy document that we have here at KHC or any other state housing agency has. And that document really sets the policy on where we want to take housing policy over the next year or 2 years in the case here at KHC. And that document is a list of criteria on how we want to allocate those low-income housing tax credits that we receive from the federal government. We've contracted with Novogradac to help Kentucky Housing Corporation improve and streamline the qualified allocation plan. We've listened to our housing partners, developers, syndicators, funders, and taken information from forums to reduce red tape. We want partners to see greater transparency and have a greater comfort level with QAP changes to be implemented. So with that, Mark, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Yes, happy to. I spent most of my career with the North Carolina Housing Finance Agency as the attorney, in-house attorney, and policy coordinator. But for the last 3 years, I've been with Novogradac and Company, primarily doing policy consulting with many of my clients being housing finance agencies. I do also give advice to developers, local governments, financial institutions on housing and community development programs. Plus, I do other types of activities for the firm, such as writing and editing articles and helping with our advocacy efforts in Washington.
Now, Mark, as someone who has worked a significant portion of their career around the low-income housing tax credit program, or LIHTC as we call it, what about the program keeps you interested and passionate about going to work each day?
I would actually separate the interested and the passions. What keeps me interested is a unique circumstance with the housing credit where both the policy considerations and the bottom line are important. In most industries, in most types of roles that someone can have, really only one of those two matter. For example, if you're on Wall Street, all you need to really focus on is the bottom line. Whereas if you work for say, Department of Housing and Urban Development, in most capacities there, what you really care about is just the policy. But in the world of housing credits, every participant has to care about both how the program and the resulting properties work from a bottom line perspective. And they also have to think about what social good they're doing. What are the policy implications? Sometimes those two are complementary. Sometimes they are in conflict, but the mix is always fascinating. So that's what keeps me interested. As for what keeps me passionate, it sounds cliche, but it's really true for, I think, most folks in this business. It's the opportunity to do a lot of good, to help a lot of people who really need it. And it's solving what is a true market failure. That's not something that a lot of people understand and recognize. But if you look at both American history, and if you look around the world, what you'll see is that the only way the market responds to the housing needs of low-income families is through substandard units, slums, tenements. And so what we're doing in our industry is addressing that shortcoming through what is, in my opinion, and the opinion of many others, the most successful and appropriate way to do so, at least that we've discovered so far.
Yeah. Well, you did mention, too, that you were employed by North Carolina's Housing Finance Agency. Can you tell us about your role there? Briefly describe maybe some of the challenges you encountered while working on the LIHTC program, as well as maybe a couple of accomplishments while working at the housing agency, which you are particularly proud of.
Certainly. The main overriding challenge is serving the extensive need with the unfortunately far too limited resource. And that manifests itself in multiple ways. Local governments come to you and say, we need to get a project a year. But if you were to do that, then that would mean some other local government didn't receive properties in its jurisdiction and would be justifiably frustrated. And the most obvious one is, of course, the reality of having three, sometimes even four or five applications for every one that gets awarded. And it's similarly challenging is when you have two different developer entities, two different companies or individuals applying for each award that you're going to make, which means that there'll be a lot of people left without a chair when the music stops. And that's obviously not the case in every state, but it definitely is in some, including where I used to work here in North Carolina. And so there certainly are other challenges, but that one really overlies everything. And then, of course, there's the different needs to serve. How much do you put towards creating new housing versus rehabilitating the existing stock? And because at least with regard to the 9% credit, which is the one that's the easiest to use, and in some cases only one that's able to be used in many parts of many states, every dollar that you put into one use or location or to developer is a dollar that's not available for another use or location or developer. And so that challenge really overrides everything.
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say we certainly have those issues here in Kentucky, especially dealing, you know, trying to understand and make the decisions on, you know, is it better to rehab versus new construction? But certainly the competitive nature of those tax credits here in Kentucky, we get a little over $10 million annually, and it's certainly a competitive process for those.
Indeed. And so, as far as the other part of your question, accomplishments for which I'm proud, the one that stands out above all others is back in 2001, when I very first got to the Housing Finance Agency, we were approached by the State Department of Health and Human Services to have the housing credit program serve people with disabilities, because as they noted, that population had almost inarguably the greatest need for affordable housing. And the tax credit was the largest and really only source available to serve that need. And so we partnered with the state DHHS to figure out a way to have our properties serve that population. And it took a few different ways to approach it the first couple of years, but we finally, after a couple of years of trying it, we figured out a way that was and is largely successful. And as a result, the state for over a decade now has mandated all 9% tax credit properties to set aside 10% of their units within each property for people with disabilities, as are connected to that property through the local human service network. And it is a system that respects those tenants' rights, treats them, and has the same expectation of responsibilities of other tenants, and yet provides them with something that they greatly need in every sense. And so there's thousands of households all over the state that are benefiting from that. And the model has been since adopted in a number of other states. And so that's the one for which I'm the most proud. And then as far as you'd ask for a couple, on a more general sense, I'm also very appreciative that I was able in that time to get to work with other housing finance agencies. That was something that the then executive director, Bob Kukab, encouraged and supported. And so I was able to, in different ways, to different extents, work with at least half the other allocating agencies around the country during my time there. And that was always very gratifying.
Great. Well, as we mentioned before, you've been hired as a contract consultant by KHC. Could you maybe describe your role in working with us and improving that qualified allocation plan that we have going out later on this year? And maybe how do you feel about the work and how that work is progressing?
Certainly. So there are several components to the work. One of the first is reducing the overall length of the various forms and documents involved. Between them, there's, depending on how you count it, a couple hundred pages of documentation that apply to the allocation of the housing credit. And the KHC has rightly and wisely recognized that the extent of paperwork involved for that can be less. And so we don't know what will be the ultimate end result of those changes, but we can say with, I believe, some certainty that it will be materially less, fewer pages than were before. And that is to everyone's benefit. Along the way, we're hoping to have all the various rules and requirements and expectations, criteria, et cetera, be easier to understand and follow. And so, which is a sort of a side benefit corollary, but also an important objective of these changes of making the documents shorter. And of course, equally important to all those is improving the processes and outcomes. And that's not something that is unique to this circumstance, but is something that KHC and pretty much all allocating agencies want to do all the time. And so that is, since we're going through this process, one of the aspects of the work.
Well, I think it's safe to say, too, that this is probably one of the biggest overhauls in the QAP that we've had in a while, if not ever. And it's partially because our partners were asking for that. They said, you know, the QAP is too long. Perhaps some of the things said in the guidelines contradict what the QAP says. And so over the years, that document has been amended, but maybe some guidelines have been amended. But perhaps, you know, when they amend the guidelines, something is not amended in the QAP. So over time, that document keeps getting larger and larger. So I look forward for us to be able to say that we simplified the process and made it easier for our partners and better for us to complete our mission. So we certainly appreciate your efforts there. While I have one more question here, while working with KHC, have there been any aspects of this engagement that you found particularly challenging?
Well, the one that really stands out in that regard is that in some ways it would be ideal to get to be in KHC's office more often, based in Raleigh. So it's quite a distance away. And so that isn't logistically feasible, but it certainly would be rewarding and productive to get to be there in the building more often. Although conversely, the advantage of being distinct and separate and geographically not present is that it allows me to maintain the distance, the ability to look at everything without having bought into it for however many years. I can come to it with a fresh and objective perspective. So there certainly is value in it, but again, there also is, like everything, there's a trade-off. The challenge is it would be nice to get to talk to others there as we're doing this work.
Great. Well, for our listeners, just to restate, we're talking about KHC's efforts to reduce red tape and create a better process within our Qualified Allocation Plan, our QAP, for our partners and for our mission. Looking at the timeline for the QAP, we scheduled a forum for the 30th of January from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Kia Building at 100 Airport Road here in Frankfurt. We'll likely have another forum in February and that date is to be determined. We are also going to have a public hearing, which will be scheduled sometime in March. And we hope to finalize and bring the QAP to our board of directors in April. So, Mark, again, thank you very much for joining us here for our very first podcast on strategichousing.com. And if you're for our listeners, I would invite you to join the conversation by sharing the podcast and leaving comments. I would also invite you to the second podcast about the Qualified Allocation Plan with Mark that continues discussion in looking at other states and nationally and what Kentucky could do with the perspective that we learn from other states. So again, Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.